Hello and welcome to The Brain Train. My name is Mary Darby Byrne, and today's guest in the studio is the excellent Vedic astrologer Drew Lawrence. Drew, hello and welcome.
How are you, Mary? Nice to be here.
Good. Thanks for coming all the way up from Wicklow. So talk to me. There's astrology and then there's Vedic astrology.
Yes.
Differentiate for me, please.
Vedic astrology is actually the original system of astrology, dating back to about 3000 BC, India, coming from the books known as the Vedas. The word Veda is a Sanskrit word, and it means knowledge or science. The Vedas actually deal with every science or every subject under the rainbow, but primarily people know about the Vedas in terms of the science of karma, yoga, reincarnation, and self-realization. In the newspaper, we find Western astrology, which is a different version of astrology, and you'll find it there under horoscopes, newspapers, magazines. Now, I've studied Western astrology, and I've studied Vedic astrology, and I've studied the Vedic system in the original Sanskrit language, which dates back, again, thousands of years. And I have found through my studies and my experience that Vedic astrology was more accurate, more effective, and more on point. So I have used that system now exclusively for 34 years. Now, the one other point that is worth mentioning is that, you know, we could say, well, Vedic astrologers say that their system is correct. Western astrologers say that their calculation is correct. It's a he said, she said. However, modern-day astronomers, that is, scientists, will tell you that the Vedic system is the accurate system. The Western system is not even accurate, yet millions of people use it. And what is the bottom line? What is the difference? Getting to your actual question, it is that the planets will end up in different signs. So somebody, for example, who thinks that their sun sign is a Virgo may well be a Leo. Somebody who thinks they are an Aries may well be a Pisces. Sometimes they're the same between the two systems, but there is a 23-degree differentiation between the two calculations. So, for example, if your sun sign was, say, 24 degrees of Leo in the Western system, we would deduct the 23 degrees from that, and we'd find that your sun sign would be 1 degree of Leo, the same. But if your sun sign is 14 degrees of Gemini, we deduct the 23. That throws us back into the previous sign, which would be Taurus.
Okay, so it's quite huge, the difference as such.
Yeah.
So tell me, what did you do before you got into astrology and Vedic astrology?
Well, I did many things. I was a professional musician for many, many years. And
what instrument did you play?
I played drums. I had one of the most successful bands in Canada. And at that time, I was going through my spiritual awakening, which began at the age of 19. And by the age of 23, Warner Brothers had set a contract down on the table in front of us to record our first album, and I walked away from it. And I joined an ashram, and I spent the next 5 years living as a monk in an ashram, practicing yoga and dedicating my life to spiritual pursuits and my relationship with God.
Wow, that was a huge turnaround.
It was a turnaround.
It certainly was. So Warner Brothers didn't quite do it for you?
No. Not at that moment in my life.
Not at that moment.
No.
I mean, that was quite a courageous, I mean...
Well, you see, it was an offering. I offered it to God.
Okay.
I said, well, you know, you've given me all this talent and ability, which I had from a young age, and I've worked toward this point all my life up to that point in time. I'm going to offer that to you. That's going to be my sacrifice, my offering, because I think that's more important. So just to advance the story a little bit, 2 years later, I found myself in Los Angeles studying Sanskrit, which was my dream. I was working in the Sanskrit department of the publications where my guru was publishing the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, publishing the Sanskrit translations into English. And next thing I know, I was in recording studios playing with top flight LA recording musicians, studio musicians. And next thing, I was recording with Stevie Wonder. I recorded with the Beastie Boys. I recorded with a lot of top people in LA.
Very nice. So you still got to live some of your dream.
I did.
So from
beyond what I thought.
Beyond, definitely. So how did you end up? I mean, what did Stevie say? Look, is there a drummer in the house? And you just dropped your Vedic
No. It was actually connected. It all flowed through the same sort of channels. One thing led to another.
Amazing.
So it remained more in a realm of higher consciousness, not dance music.
Okay. So tell me, so what drew you to astrology then? And then what drew you to the Vedic astrology?
What drew me to astrology? Once I learned Sanskrit and the Vedas became open to me, which is just so much knowledge is available in the Vedas, and much of it very esoteric, I discovered that you could, by virtue of rituals, mantras, sacred sound vibrations, and different kinds of ceremonies, you could actually invite a higher soul down to take birth. You could attract a higher soul down into the womb. And that was possible. So in order to do that, in other words, you're actually, you know, invoking a more conscious soul to come in as your child.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to do that, and what we call that in the Catholic religion are sacraments. That is the similarity.
The seven sacraments.
The sacraments,
yes,
are rites of passage that mark significant places in the life of a soul. And they're meant to connect that soul to its spiritual destiny and its higher place in the world, in life, higher purpose. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Same idea. I mean, there's no point in just having children if the children are not going to make the world a better place. Then they would become effectively a burden. Well, we don't want that. So my wife was very keen, as I was. If she wasn't, it wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm. To have kids, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, well, to have kids, to have kids in that manner. But you had to do things at a specific astrological time. You know, when the planets were in such a place. Well, I didn't know how to do that, so I had no choice but to learn astrology.
Okay, so what is the purpose of conceiving a child when the stars are in a certain alignment?
Well, you know, we say in our world, timing is everything. Doesn't everybody say that? And we all look at each other and we nod knowingly. Yep, timing is everything. Well, we all know that. We all believe that. But we don't even really know to what extent that is true.
Mm-hmm.
So there are favorable and unfavorable days, times, even hours of the day when things will succeed, things will not succeed. Each day, the planets are in certain places. We know that the planets move through the signs, you know, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, but they also move through constellations. In Vedic, we also look at constellations or star groups.
So what does that mean?
Well, it tells us on a given day what activities are suitable and what activities will succeed on a certain day.
Okay.
Now, if you go, for example, this is a very simple example. If you go onto my website, drewlawrence.com, Lawrence with a W, on the front page of the website, down on the right, it says monthly planetary planners. If you open that up and find your region, well, here would be Ireland, UK region, it will tell you. It will look at a month, like that we're in November. What, this is the last day? No, tomorrow we're in December. And it will tell you the gold days, silver days, bronze days, and gray days for each month. And when it starts, what time of day, and when it ends. And gold days are wonderful days where business, important activities, whatever you're trying to do to have it succeed, whatever is especially important to you, gold days are best, silver days second best, bronze days perfectly okay, gray days must be avoided, because on gray days, it means the chance of things not working out increases significantly. So that's a very simple sort of planner that I've developed free of charge on my website.
On your website.
Anybody can use it.
So going back to yourself and your wife, you decided to have some children. So then you studied astrology, obviously, to have them at the best place, for the best time, for the best opportunities.
Yes.
How do you know what to pick? Are you saying,
well, it
tells how do you go about it?
It tells you in the Vedic books and in these different treatises, what depending what you're trying to achieve, these are the days and times in which to do it. So then you calculate where the planets are on those days and times.
So, okay, if you conceive your child at that, let's say, golden day,
yeah,
what are the benefits of that child for life?
Okay. Essentially, what we would ideally want for our child, any of us, would be a healthy child, an intelligent child, a child who would make a contribution to the world, a child who will do well financially or materially, if you like, will do well in the world, and also a child who will have a higher consciousness, a higher awareness, a spiritual, strong spiritual nature. That's what we would be hoping for.
Okay.
But in our situation, being that we were so committed to a spiritual lifestyle, our main thing was the higher consciousness and the deeper depth of understanding. And then how do you know if you succeeded or not? You calculate the child's birth chart when the child is born, and that will tell you whether or not you've succeeded.
Okay, so what if you what if you just were off key a bit? So what's the effects there?
Well, I mean,
do people have a more challenging life as a result?
Well, everybody's going to have a challenging life,
well, yeah,
one way or another.
Yeah,
we all
say
do.
That, yeah.
You know, it's not that anybody's...
That's run of the mill. That's a given.
That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
No
that's
one
what
is
we're here.
Going to be free from that. That's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to work through karma. We are here to learn lessons,
mm-hmm.
every last one of us. To answer that question simply, and trying not to make it too complex, the ninth house in a birth chart is spirituality. In Sanskrit, we'd say dharma.
Okay,
D-H-A-R-M-A.
The ninth
dharma.
House being the nine months in the womb? Is that what the connection
no,
is?
No,
no.
Ninth in a birth chart, you have 12 houses representing different aspects of the life, different areas of life. You'd have 12 signs in those houses, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, etc. You'd have the nine planets in Vedic. We use nine planets. And they would be wherever they would be, you know, in the sky when the person is born.
Okay.
Right. The ninth house in the chart itself is spirituality. So if you have an evolved soul, a higher soul, theoretically, then the planet that would be in the ninth house or would rule the ninth house would be exalted. It would have reached its highest state of power and position. A planet can only be exalted in one sign out of 12. So you have a 1 in 12 shot of having an exalted planet. Exalted planets are not rare, but most of us don't have them. Even one exalted planet could take a person and lift them very high in life. So, out of the three children that were produced, all three had exalted planets connected to the ninth house.
Do I say well aimed? Well done? That's pretty good.
So, I mean, you couldn't...
That's very good.
You couldn't manufacture that, because you cannot say when that child is going to come out of the womb and take its first breath. I mean, you
just
can't.
That's pretty well done.
So that's the execution of the theory.
Well done. What we're going to do is we're going to stop for a short break and we'll talk some more when we come back.
The sun. From the new Dundrum Town Centre, this is Dublin South FM.
Hello and welcome back to The Brain Train. My name is Mary Darby Byrne. And if you've just joined us, today's guest in the studio is the ex and Vedic astrologer, Drew Lawrence. Drew, before the break, we were talking about how you were actually in a quite a successful band in Canada, how you then got into your spiritual studies. You still got to play with the likes of Stevie Wonder. And you were talking about how you conceived your own children. At the right, is it, would the Chinese call this an auspicious time? Would that, what, is that auspicious. What the Chinese?
Well, that's what we would call it. We would also go with that.
Damn, yes, lucky. Like, well, and you said you basically your intention between yourself and your wife was to conceive your children at the best possible time to give them the best opportunities in life.
Correct.
Which does mean they're still not going to have any challenges.
Correct.
In life.
It doesn't mean they won't have any challenges.
It's just they will be on a... What, more conscious? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Well, that's what we would hope, is that they would have a greater consciousness and not be, shall we say, too self-involved or self-interested, that they would want to do something in the world that is going to benefit the greater whole. I mean, I think most of us want that for our children, to be honest. And, we want our children to be successful and comfortable and naturally. But we also want them to do for others. And that's, you know, that is just as much a Christian concept as it is
It's just a basic table and chairs in life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's golden rule.
Golden rule, caring for yourself and caring for your neighbors, just caring about your mankind. So tell me, so why would somebody go to you for a Vedic astrology reading? What's the purpose of it for them?
Astrology is a map of your karma.
No, explain that. What do you mean exactly by karma?
Karma, most of us understand karma, and this is the best way to explain it because it transcends all cultures and all backgrounds. What goes around comes around.
Okay.
That is karma. Everybody knows what goes around comes around. And if you say that, everybody will know. You can go say that in the middle of Africa, in the bush, and they'll know exactly what you're talking about. So that is karma. But karma is a more complex application of that notion. So karma is not some sort of crapshoot that just kind of by happenstance takes place. Nothing happens in the universe without a cause and effect. And God is the greatest mind, if you will, in and beyond the universe. So astrology is actually known as a divine science, and the first science once the planets were set into motion. So by understanding where the planets are in the sky and what the effects may be, it shows how the karma will unfold through the birth chart. There's a statement in the Vedas where God says, I myself take the form of the planets in order to deliver to all living beings their karma. Action, reaction. Karma is action, reaction. So you can have good karma, moderate karma, or bad karma. We all know, we've all had it all. You know, on a given day, it's a moderate thing. Yeah, life goes on. But some days there's a cause for celebration, and some days there's a cause for sorrow. So celebration is good karma, sorrow is bad karma. It's very simple. It's not hard to understand.
So do we come in like with a haversack of karma?
Yes, we do.
Be it like, say, 1, 2, 3, you know.
Yes, and that can be measured by the birth chart. And in Vedic astrology, it can also show you almost exactly how your karma will unfold throughout your lifetime through a 120-year life cycle.
Oh,
your personal planetary periods.
So can you, if you have a lot of, let's say, negative karma or unlucky karma, whatever you want to call it.
Or you might be going through a period of difficult karma.
Is there a way of healing this, addressing it, changing it, improving
it? Absolutely.
So can your birth chart show you this? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There are many ways to resolve or reduce the negative effects of karma. For thousands of years in India, they have recommended the wearing of gemstones to help to alleviate negative karmic effects, to strengthen weakened planets. And it works. Gemstones have a bandwidth or a frequency, just like the light spectrum. If you divide the light spectrum, you will get the 7 colors of the rainbow of the spectrum. And each of those colors is a certain bandwidth or a frequency. We know this. The planets operate on those same frequencies. You have the 7 colors of the rainbow. You have the 7 days of the week. You have the 7 major planets in Vedic astrology. And they're all linked. It's all the law of sevens. It's universal law. So by wearing specific gemstones that are connected, same frequency, same wavelength, to specific planets, you can strengthen a weakened planet and help to undo negative karmic effects. That's one way to do it. Another way to resolve or neutralize negative karma is by giving charity. And by giving specific kinds of charity on a particular day, on that planetary day, to a certain segment of the population.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's another way you can do it. Another way you can do it is by chanting specific mantras, sacred prayers, and that works more effectively than the aforementioned methods. So they work.
All right.
The idea, too, of course, is a cogent idea of having remorse. if you actually did something and you know you did it. I mean, this is the whole Catholic idea of going to confession. This is a legitimate idea in terms of spirituality, is confessing your sins, but not if you're not sincere. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is to be sincere. Now, the karma we're talking about is already in place when you've come in.
So you may not
know.
Life, yeah.
This is from a previous lifetime or lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So we may not know where that karma came from. But, you know, having this attitude of remorse and, you know, wanting to be sincere about, you know, owning one's negative action. Yes, I did it. I'm guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That goes a long way. A long way into resolving things.
So, supposing, like, do you get business people going to you for readings?
I have.
What sort of people go to you for readings and such?
Everybody.
Okay.
I've been doing this for 34 years. I have clients around the world. I have many executives of top Fortune 500 companies that have come to me through the years. I've got many, many Hollywood stars, because I used to live in Los Angeles. Most of my life was in Los Angeles. I have any major job or career in life, I have top people that come to see me.
So, okay, suppose I was to go to you. I haven't had a Vedic reading. What would you do? Or what's the questions you'd ask me? How would you work out my chart? Where would you begin?
All we need is your name.
Okay. First name.
No, just whatever name you're using.
Okay.
Your birth date, the time of birth, very important too, and the place of birth, town and country. That's it. That's all we need.
Why the time? Why is the time important, and why is the place you were born important?
Because we are calculating where the planets are, and it must be exact from that point on the map, on the globe.
I see.
So we need to know latitude and longitude. And time of day tells us, from sunrise to sunset, and where the planets will be at a given time of day in the sky. So all this must be done very, very accurately and scientifically. This is a science. This is not, people sometimes refer to, my psychic drew Lauren. No. It's not psychism and psychic readings. This is a science. If it's a science, it must prove its tenets time and time again. So if somebody who has the sun in the 12th house in the birth chart feels insecure, dismisses the self, feels unsure, gets a little bit confused, and is not sure of one's direction in life, that is the symptoms of somebody with sun in the 12th. So when I find a chart, I calculate somebody's chart, they have the sun in the 12th house, I say that every single time, and it's right 100 times out of 100 times. That's science. In medical science, if they can prove something 55% of the time, they call it a science. I have many, many doctors that are clients of mine, clinicians and research scientists. That's what they told me. If they can prove it 55% of the time, it's science. If I got 55% accuracy, they'd run me out of town on a rail with tar and feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they should. Science means it should be accurate in the vast majority of cases.
So what if somebody doesn't know what time they were born at?
If they don't know what time they were born, we can do calculations. We can ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And with the answers to the questions that they give us, we can do calculations to help to narrow it down. I have done hundreds and hundreds of charts like that.
And what sort of questions would you ask?
Well, I'd ask, for example, do you have any illnesses? When did they begin? Did you lose a child? Abortion, miscarriage, when did you do that? When did you get married? How many babies do you have? When were they born? How far did you go in school? Do you have your own business? What's your career? Things like that. Any major events in your life that you can recall.
So how would that help you narrow down to when people were born?
We set it against the backdrop of the planetary periods. That's what we didn't finish talking about.
Okay.
So we use a 120-year life cycle. Now, we know most people don't live to be 120, but some do. We divide the 120 into three phases generally. Birth to 40, youth. 40 to 80, middle age. 80 to 120, old age. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're not to be thinking about old age before the age of 80, FYI.
Okay.
Then we divide it into what we call planetary periods, which are unique to Vedic astrology. In Western astrology, they know nothing about this. It doesn't exist. Now, I often joke with people, you know, people have the one-year plan, the five-year plan, mm-hmm. the 10-year plan, which is fine. Sometimes that's realized. Oftentimes, it is not. Well, we've got the 120-year plan.
Okay.
And it is accurate in 90 to 95% of the cases, if we have an accurate birth time. If we don't, we'll be in the ballpark.
Okay.
You know? And this shows you exactly how your karma is unfolding. For example, you know, sometimes people say to me, you know, I wanted to be a visual arts designer, you know, like some kind of art or design. And that's what I wanted to do. And then I studied, I got my diploma or my degree, and then I went out to do it, and it didn't succeed. I didn't succeed. So I'm doing such and such, something totally different, out of line, you know. So you look at the chart. Here she's got a Mars-Venus together in the chart. This is a brilliant designer, no question. You know, that's the easiest thing to see. So she's going down the right road. But when she came out of school, she went into maybe a Saturn period. Okay. And the Saturn period did not deliver the goods. I've seen this countless times. So now the person becomes,
disappointed.
Disappointed.
Disillusioned.
Disillusioned. Correct.
Disheartened.
And says, disheartened. And says, okay, I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the wrong thing. I'll just go get a job in a
supermarket.
And it's only because that period was not the right time to begin to do the career. And subsequently, she's become so disheartened that she won't even attempt it again. Timing is everything.
So serendipity.
Yeah. And so if she starts it at the right time, that would have taken off. But how does she know that? And now, you see.
This is where you can
agree. So then I tell them, okay, now wait another 6 months. And do it again, and it'll succeed.
Okay, we're going to stop for a short break, and we'll talk some more when we come back.
From the new Dundrum Town Centre, this is Dublin South FM.
Hello and welcome back to The Brain Train. My name is Mary Darby Byrne. And if you've just joined us, today's guest in the studio is the excellent Vedic astrologer, Drew Lawrence. Now, Drew, before the break, we were covering so much between how you started off when you were in your band, how you got married, you had kids at the correct planetary alignment that was best for their life path. Talk to me about some famous people's charts, like Obama. Give me an example of him. Okay. Did you do his chart, or would you do his chart? Or?
Well, I didn't do his chart for him. I didn't get the phone call.
Okay.
I will tell you this, that I have clients that are in the NSA, National Security. I have CIA clients. I have four-star generals. So I have people way, way highly placed in U.S. government. But that's a separate thing. I predicted the financial crash in the fall of 2008. It's on my website. The article's still on there. Anyway, you can look it up under articles or under planetary events. And I knew that was going to happen because of Jupiter's conjunction with Rahu in the sky. And I said that. I won't get into that right now. And so, subsequently, I knew what was going to happen. You know, I didn't know it would go on this long, necessarily, to be honest. But I knew that there'd be a major financial turnaround. So, Obama was running for office, and he was running against John McCain. Obama was the Democrat, McCain was the Republican. And I looked at Obama's chart, McCain's chart, and I knew that obviously they were going to go the U.S. And then subsequently many of the rest of us, other countries, would be going through a very difficult time. So McCain was going into one of the best periods, if not the best planetary period of his life. So I knew that McCain wouldn't get elected.
Why? If he was going into the best planetary...
Because that's not the direction the reality was going in terms of the economy and everybody else in the countries, in the U.S.
So it wasn't as a result of this.
As a result of that, I knew
he wasn't going to get it.
Wouldn't win.
He couldn't possibly because.
No. And then at the same time, I looked at Obama's chart, and I could see that Obama had the strength planetarily to get elected, but immediately after getting elected, he would be sworn in January. Whatever year that was, 08 now.
Where is this that long? 08. 2 years.
And then by March, he would go into 3.5 years of the worst periods of his life. 3.5 years consecutive. And that said to me, oh yeah, he's going to win because that's all the crap
that's
he's
going on
have to deal with and try to sort out, which in my opinion, he hasn't sorted out a thing. He's been very ineffective. Which exactly shows what would happen in his chart. It shows being ineffective, that whatever he does, it doesn't really result in much. And, you know, you could play... I'm not being political here, I'd like to point out. I'm not a Democrat. I am not a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just simply stating the fact that I haven't seen him achieve much of anything. And you can say, well, the Republicans stopped. You can say whatever you like. It doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, the man has not been effective. Now... Interestingly, about 6 months before the next election, which is going to be in the fall, a year from now, in 2012, Obama shifts into a really, really good period. So things may turn around. So, and then the question we ask is, well, what are his chances of being reelected? They are excellent.
Really?
Yes. Not because of what he's done,
because
of the fact
that
his karma is going to be shifting more favorably. But now we can't just say this as a blanket statement,
mm-hmm.
because we don't know who the Republican candidate is at this point. And then we have to check out that person's chart and see what they're going to be going through, what the whole atmosphere is around the election
mm-hmm.
in terms of economy, etc. And then we'll make a determination.
So did you do Lady Di's chart?
I did Lady Di's chart. Again, not for Lady Di.
Okay.
She never called me. But I did her chart. And, yeah, very tragic.
And did you do it before her actual accident?
No. Well, I did it before her accident, but because I didn't do it for her, I wasn't thinking much about her accident. She does have, what I remember about the chart, I remember two things. She has Venus and Taurus in its own sign in the seventh house, which means she's very beautiful, charismatic, compelling, very attracted to art and beauty and these kinds of things. Also very strong, strongly sexual woman. And then Sun in the eighth house means a tragic figure. Sun means she didn't have a very strong sense of herself and who she was. You know, she sort of got, not saying she didn't have difficult circumstances, but she kind of got caught up in or lost in everything that was going on there. And then, you know, being with the Dodi Fayed, is that his name?
Fayed, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Arab playboy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would have seen that as like, well, she didn't have good discrimination mm-hmm. or discretion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would see that.
And what about, it would have been her daughter-in-law, Prince William's wife, Kate?
Yeah.
What about her chart? Because
I took a glance at her chart and William's chart. Now, I didn't know you were going to ask me about that, but I looked at them both, and they had a lot of similarities. Just prior to their marriage, I took a look at those charts. And there's a lot of things between them that looked, like they were on the same wavelength. So, I mean, my wish for them is that they have a wonderful marriage and that they're successful. And they seem like very good people, each of them, as individuals and together. You know, relationship is a third entity unto itself.
Yeah.
You have two people. You have a man and a woman. But the relationship is a third entity. And the relationship is supposed to... the whole must become greater than the sum of the parts. So the relationship must create something greater than each individual can offer the world. Bringing these two people together must then mean something even better for the world. And if that's not the case, if either person is diminished in that relationship, we're losing something. They are as individuals, but we are too. You can't always simply think of yourself. Dharma or purpose and following your fundamental nature means to do something that fulfills you using your God-given gifts, your basic nature, and makes a contribution to the world around you. Very, very important.
She reminds me of a more supported, more secure version of Lady Di.
Yeah.
It's like, and I feel he's like a more positive, more supportive version of such as Charles. And I just feel these two are the end result, and they're going to do it. I really hope they do it. I hope they're successful in everything that they do. It's like this is what Lady Di was hoping to achieve.
Yeah.
But kind of got stopped in her tracks. Who else is chart have you read? Interesting.
Well, most of my clients that I've read, I wouldn't talk about.
Well, no, not your clients. I mean people like, you've done any actors, what about Marilyn Monroe? Did you ever do her chart?
I glanced at it years ago. I mean, she has Venus in the 10th house. 10th house is career. So she was in a Venusian occupation, which is she was an actress. She was also a bombshell. She was a sex symbol, so that's very much Venus in the 10th house.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Venus, I did Bill Clinton's chart.
And
Bill Clinton has Venus and Mars together on the ascendant, which is the rising sign. First house, house of self. But his Venus is debilitated. It's weak. So when Mars and Venus are together in a chart, it makes one very sexually determined, very sensual, very sexual nature. Well, we know that about Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something wrong with that? No, not in and of itself. Some people have a stronger libido than others, so that is not, we're not finding fault with that. But when Venus is debilitated, in that circumstance. It means scandals. It leads to scandals. And how many did he have?
You know.
God bless him.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think he just got hung out to dry. I think the others are probably doing it, but he just got hung out to dry.
Yeah, but you see, the others may have been doing it, but they don't have in the chart the karma for scandal.
Ah, I see.
You see, if you have karma for scandal, then you would be with Mr. Clinton, and you would be advising him, look, you can't keep doing that because...
You're going to get
hung out found to dry. Out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that... That would have stopped him.
No, but a bit more discretion on who you pick.
Yes.
So did you ever do, say, Bono's chart, or the U2 as a group? You know, a group.
No, I never did.
What, that would be interesting to do as a group.
It would be very interesting to do it. I heard that they're very strongly sort of into Christian things, meaning they wouldn't be interested in this type of spirituality, I don't think.
But just for you to read them, it's like, you know, the Rolling Stones. I mean, these are lifelong pals. Do you know what I mean? Is it possible to do a group like that and see why
they're all
together? That's what I mean.
That's a good question.
I mean, the Rolling Stones, you've got U2. Who else have you got around very long
Well, you can
time?
Do a constellation, a chart constellation, in the sense that you do all the people in the family.
Oh, no, there we go.
No,
yeah,
I've done
family
that
one. Yeah.
For people. And that is, I mean, it's so enlightening.
Okay, hang on. What we're going to do...
Or you can do the whole people in the pop group.
Yes, that would
or
be interesting.
In business partners.
We're going to stop for a short break, and then we're going to come back and talk about that.
from the new Dundrum Town Centre. This is Dublin South FM.
Hello and welcome back to The Brain Train. My name is Mary Darby Byrne. And if you've just joined us, today's guest in the studio is the Vedic astrologer Drew Lawrence. Now, Drew, we've covered everything from you've looked at President Obama's charts, you were a musician, you studied Vedic astrology, you conceived your children at the right time in life. Tell me, like, as a group, looking at our family astrology charts, Vedic astrology, how does that work? How can it help? Or even say, like I say, like the band, like the Rolling Stones or U2, they've been around a very long time. They would be like families.
Well, I'm going to take this approach to that question, if I may, Mary. Souls travel together lifetime after lifetime. And they'll be in different relationships in different lifetimes. For example, supposing you have a cause for celebration and you want to throw a party on Friday night and you want everybody to join you for this party, who do you call up? You call up all your closest friends, don't you? You mm-hmm. call up a bunch of strangers? No. By the same token, souls travel together with souls that they know. Not saying there can't be different souls involved, but this you can often see in a birth chart. And how, you know, this is the mother from another lifetime, or this is the spouse from another lifetime. An example would be love at first sight. Love at first sight is a legitimate phenomenon. We're not talking about lust at first sight. That's a different thing. Love at first sight means two souls. I could show you this in hundreds of charts. Two souls meet. And they feel this compelling connection. I know you. Where do I know you from? Where have we met? And then we go through all the possibilities. But no, we never met. But there's an immediate comfortability. There's a familiarity. There's a recognition. Yes, these two souls know each other, but not in this lifetime. The energies of each person recognize that energy, but the body is different now. So it may mean that now is the time for those two souls to pick up where they left off. And then you can get into things like soulmates, you know, positive soulmates and negative soulmates. You know, sometimes negative soulmates means these people are destined to come together because they still got to work through some negative stuff, some difficult lessons mm-hmm. that weren't yet learned or haven't been resolved between these two people,
mm-hmm.
right? A positive soulmate experience is two people coming together that are destined to be with each other, but there's no gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands. There's no clashing. I always laugh when I hear this statement. I heard it on RTE television. They interviewed somebody the other night. And this lady was an expert on something. I don't know what. Relationships are hard work. In whose reality?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to be hard work?
Why can't they be just
pure
ego and comfortable?
If they're positive soulmates, there is no hard work because the negative karma that each of those persons has to deal with is not being played out between themselves. They may still get negative karma and difficulties in their lives, but not played out between them.
Drew Lawrence, we have barely a minute left. Please call out your website, your number if people want to make an appointment, or your email address, all your details.
Okay, my website is www.drewlawrence.com. Lawrence is spelled with a W.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone number here in Dublin is 01274-0206.
Oh,
that's
okay.
It. Sorry about that.
And if not, they can get on.
And my email is drewjlawrence@gmail.com.
Do come in again before Christmas and maybe after Christmas. Maybe you can help put people on the right track for the new year.
No problem. Thank you.